Hello, everybody. My name is Maddie, and welcome to my podcast, Influence-ish. If we have not met before, which I figured there might be some people listening for the very first time, because I have taken a very, very long break from podcasting. So if you're listening for the first time, here is my little intro. My name, like I said, is Maddie. I'm 23 years old, and in the last month, I moved to California, which is crazy to even say out loud. I feel like I haven't said that out loud that much recently, so that's crazy. But I'm from North Carolina, graduated in May from a school in Virginia, and now I am living in California and figuring it out. And I don't really have a very short summary for what's going on in my life, but that is pretty much the purpose of this episode. I just figured I would keep it really casual since we haven't talked in a really long time, and less structured of an episode, and just catch up, because I feel like I haven't really shared a whole lot about what's going on in my life on social media, except for like very vaguely. Like, I haven't been super specific about what's going on. So I feel like my podcast, I feel the closest with you guys out of any of my other social media platforms. So I felt like this would be the most appropriate avenue to share on and update you guys on. But yeah, I'm sitting here in my like room that I'm currently living in. It's not my own room, but I will explain that. But yeah, hi, I've missed you guys. I've missed my podcast. Since moving here, I felt a really big hole in my life, creatively. And I think since this summer was so busy for me, I really lost track of time and really like lost my sparkle and my inspiration. It was just a really hard, I've talked about this a little bit on various other social media platforms, but I had a really hard second semester of my senior year of college, and I feel like I kind of lost my sparkle and lost interest in a lot of the things that I'm passionate about. But now that I'm kind of seeing the other side of things, and I've officially started up this new chapter of my life here in California, I have a lot of space and time to invest in what I am passionate about. And so that means I'm going to be way more active on my social media platforms in general. That's something I've always been passionate about. And God has given me a really sweet little corner of the internet that I'm able to have friends on. And the internet is cool. We have a really awesome love-hate relationship. But I'm really grateful that all of you guys, whoever's listening, and all of you guys that follow me on Instagram or have maybe found me from YouTube, that you're here and that you are supporting me. And I'm excited to kind of like vamp up. I don't know if that's a phrase, but I'm excited to kind of accelerate and like be more active on social media. So whether that's on Instagram, I want to keep up this podcast and kind of revamp my podcast. And I posted about this, I think, on Instagram a few days ago. I also want to start back up my YouTube channel. That's something that I've been wanting to do for a while. I actually really wanted to start that back up this summer, but I didn't have a whole lot of time with my busy schedule. And now that I've moved here, I'm like, why not? Like, I don't know anyone here, and I feel like one thing that I want to start doing is like being a good steward of this like season of life, because I don't know how long I'll be in it. And by season of life, I mean like this time right now when I don't really know a whole lot of people here. And so I can either use my alone time to wallow and cry and be not be lonely, but like be sad about the fact that I don't know a lot of people, or I can steward it in a productive way, and I can podcast, and I can edit YouTube videos and film YouTube videos, and I can do the things that like make me happy and the things that I feel like God has created me to have a passion for. And so, yeah, that's my little pep talk to myself, but also my pep talk to you guys. Like, if you are emerging out of a hard season of life and maybe entering into a lonely yet peaceful one, I want to encourage you to do the things that make you you, if you've kind of fallen off from them. Because I feel like, at least in my perspective and my experience, like whenever I'm really stressed out, I feel like the thing that I really need the most is to be creative and express myself, because that's something that I'm passionate about. But it's the thing that I do the least when I'm stressed out. I don't know why. I feel like I just kind of drift away from things that I'm passionate about when I'm going through a hard time. But anyways, I'm back and I'm excited and I'm passionate and I'm on fire. And I might not be talking like I'm on fire or excited or anything, but that's because I probably sound really calm right now, and that's because I got my wisdom teeth out, so I'm trying to not, like, scream and move my mouth around a lot. I'm actually moving my mouth in a very stationary, that, like, literally doesn't make sense. I'm moving my mouth less than I would be normally to try and protect my mouth and all of the, trigger warning, all of the open wounds in my mouth. That sounds so gross. I'm so sorry. But yeah, I got my wisdom teeth out on Thursday. I've literally been sitting in bed for the last, I guess we're on day four now. And obviously, like anyone does, I went on a TikTok rabbit hole to try to prescribe myself and tell myself how my experience would be. And I saw so many people being like, day three is the worst. Like, day two and three are the worst. Mine did not get painful until probably yesterday morning. So day three in the morning, it woke me up at like 9 a.m., my jaw. And then I took my meds and then I was fine. Today, my jaw woke me up at 4 a.m. And so I've definitely been in some pain. It's probably not the best idea that I'm like talking on this podcast for an extended period of time because I haven't been talking a whole lot, but I'm going to put on a whole lot of ice after I record this episode. And I just like felt a really strong like yearning to record right now, and so I just need to listen to my creative side and record, so here I am. But anyways, yeah, got my wisdom teeth out. It hasn't been the worst thing, it hasn't been the best thing. I never like really got nauseous. Like, I'm just a little bit nervous about the fact that I feel like I might have dry socket, and I don't fully know what that means, but I think it's basically when like food gets in those holes in your mouth. I've been really good about not eating anything crunchy, but I don't know. I just like get super nervous. So I've just been swishing around salt water like every chance that I get to make sure that I don't, because that makes me so nervous. But yeah, it's starting to hurt again. So I might like pause in a minute to take more meds. But anyways, yeah, so I got those out. That's just another brief little update. But I want to kind of give you guys a rundown as to what, like, why I'm in California, what I'm doing. I feel like I've been so vague on my Instagram just because it's kind of hard to explain what I'm doing. And like I said earlier, I feel like this is a perfect platform to kind of describe what's going on, because it just kind of requires a longer form content than just an Instagram story. Like, it's so hard to explain what I'm doing. But yeah, so let's kind of like go back in time to the last time that we talked. The last time that I recorded, I just checked, was in April, which is so crazy. And I guess at that time was gearing up for my internship. The episode before that was when I think it was about like disappointment and when things don't go your way. And that was a big lesson that I learned this past semester. But so I might sound like I'm repeating some stuff, but just for context, I studied social work in college, and social work is similar. If you're not familiar with social work, it's kind of similar to the track systems of, and the gate systems of nursing or like biomed or other majors that require you to go through certain gates in order to progress through the course and through the major. And so for different gates, we have different requirements. So I had to do like one, I think it was a 150-hour internship. And so I just went in, and that was for my junior internship. And so I did that my junior year of college. And then for my senior year of college, I did my senior field placement. And I was really hoping on completing that internationally. That was my dream. That's what I really wanted to do. Whenever I changed my major to social work, I had originally been a global studies major. And so I had always really like held on to this dream of mine that was to work internationally in some aspect, whether that's in ministry or just like spread the gospel while working like a quote unquote like normal, like a job in another country. I don't really know what it was in my head, what I didn't have a firm concept of what I thought it would look like, but I just knew I really wanted to work overseas. And so when I heard about the opportunity to do an international field placement for the 400-hour internship my senior year, I was like, okay, that's exactly what I want to do. And a lot of the times for your senior field placement, it can turn into a job, like, after you finish it. And so I was like, perfect. God, I know this is what it's going to be. I'm going to have this internship. It's going to turn into a job. I'm going to get to move to whatever country I have my internship in. It's going to be awesome. That absolutely did not happen. And if you listen to that episode, you know. But basically, I was really, really praying and hoping that God would provide me an opportunity at this organization. It was in Greece, and it was an anti-sex trafficking organization, and it included, like, a safe home. Also, it just had, like, a lot of resources, like counseling, group counseling, and I really liked the idea of working at an organization that was an anti-sex trafficking organization. That's something I've always been really passionate about, but I never really heard a response, which was really hard. And I was trying to reconcile, like, okay, God, like, is this just my dreams? Like, what are your dreams for me? Like, what is your plan for me? Like, what have I misconstrued as your plan for me? And kind of going through that grief of disappointment, and I hadn't felt that big of a disappointment in a really long time. And so, yeah, that was that experience. I did not get it. And then I ended up hearing from a friend that they were no longer accepting interns. And so I never ended up hearing it from the organization, which was also hard. But yeah, didn't get that. And then I started to get really stressed out, like, okay, like, because my university was basically like, we can't guarantee that you'll be able to get a field placement in this short amount of time, but we will look for one. And so I was stressing out because I was like, this sucks because I feel like a lot of it's been out of my control. Like, I just wasn't getting a response. And then I was kind of building up this resentment at the same, like, simultaneously for my university, because I was like, I feel like y'all dropped the ball. And it, not necessarily that it was their fault, but they wouldn't allow us to apply to multiple different internships at the same time. And I wasn't allowed to do it on my own. And so I was just getting really angry and bitter. And that's never a good place to be in, especially around the time of graduation. And then they did eventually, praise God, find me an internship. And so I interned at a foster care agency. It was a Christian foster care agency, in the town that my college was in. So it was in Lynchburg, Virginia. I went to Liberty, if I haven't already mentioned that. And so I went in to that Christian foster care agency, and I was placed, I got to kind of choose if I wanted to do more of the case management side, or like the other side of things, which I can't remember the word for it right now, but it was more so like paperwork and like communicating with foster families and connecting foster families with resources and training foster families. I don't know why the word is slipping my mind right now, but I chose to be on the case management side of things. So I worked under some of the case managers. It was actually an incredible opportunity, and God really used that placement for good. And I knew that he would actually, you know what, I won't even say that, because I was really doubting that the Lord would be able to use this for his good. I was like, God, like you can't possibly want to keep me in Lynchburg, Virginia, because I was just, like I said, growing this resentment towards Liberty and this resentment towards my program, and honestly this anger towards the Lord, because I was like, God, like I thought we were on the same page, like I thought this is what you wanted me to do, I thought this was your plan for my life. And I kind of realized through all of this and through a lot of counseling that, like, I'd been idolizing, like, my own plan for my life, and I hadn't been asking God, like, is this what you want, you know? And I feel like a lot of times we interpret things as God's plan for our life without actually consulting him and praying for him and asking for him to reveal it to us and confirm it to us. And that's a thing you can ask him. If you're like, God, I have this huge passion in my heart, like I have this huge thing that I want to do, can you confirm to me that this is what you want me to do? Like, can you open doors that wouldn't normally be opened? Like, can you make this clear to me? And for me, like, that closed door, like, I really saw that as rejection, and I really saw that as like, okay, me and God disagree, like, we're not on the same page. And, you know, like, when you go through something like that, it takes a lot of like humility. And so I had to pray, God, please give me humility to be able to like work to the best of my ability in this internship, because I was dealing with a lot of pride and struggling with a lot of pride, and I needed humility to go forward and be like, okay, I'm not too good for this. Like, my plan is not too good for this. There's just as much good that the Lord can do through me here than he could do for me through me, not for me, through me, but also for me, through doing things through me. I'm literally saying a tongue twister, but you guys get what I'm saying. Like, God can do good anywhere. And I was just idolizing a place that was other than Virginia, you know, and that was just my escape route was I'm going to leave and I'm never going to come back. And that was really fueling this resentment that I was feeling. But anyways, my internship, I learned a lot in it. I was working alongside the case managers. So I would go to home visits. I would go to school visits. I would do a lot of documentation. I don't think I realized prior to this internship how much documentation there is in the foster care agency, but also just in case management within social work in general. And so a lot of my days would be like coming into the office, like from 9 to 5, and well, I guess like 9 to 4 at this internship, and doing documentation all day. So like doing paperwork all day, making logs for like home visits I did, school visits I did. I actually had to go to court 2 different times for 2 different foster kids on behalf of them with the case manager, and I learned a lot from that. So it was definitely a growing experience. Like, it put me way out of my comfort zone, and it taught me the importance of speaking up for myself and like honestly, like asking for responsibilities, because there were a lot of times where I was like, okay, I don't have anything to do. I could either sit here on Pinterest all day, or I could go ask for other things for me to do. And it definitely like grew a lot of responsibility in me that I don't think I necessarily had before, or this like yearning to like go above and beyond, because I feel like I'm not naturally like that. Like, I'm usually like, okay, I'll wait for a task, and that can become complacency really quickly. But yeah, that internship was a lot. I went, like I said, like 5 days a week, throughout the entirety of the summer. So it started May 15th and I think it ended actually, August 18th. But I actually ended up finishing early just because I got like a lot of hours, because I was going for 5-day weeks as opposed to 4-day weeks. So I finished early, which was nice, but it was a very emotionally draining internship. And I would say that it was draining for a multitude of reasons. Like, there wasn't just one reason, but I was working with children that have experienced such severe trauma. And I learned something from this. I'd known this and I'd studied this, but it's so different when you actually get to experience it. But I felt like I was almost taking on like this secondary trauma, which basically means like when you're working with somebody that's experienced severe trauma, it's really hard for you to unpack that, even though you haven't gone through it, but to go home at the end of the day. And in my perspective, in my experience, I was going back to my home with these other like college girls, and I had to carry these heavy things. Maybe not like had to carry, but in a sense, like I was carrying the weight of like all of these things that these children have experienced. And then I would have to go home and like make my stupid little pasta, you know, and watch my stupid little show. And like my life seemed so trivial in comparison, where I was living in this house, my parents were paying my rent, my parents were paying for my school. And like there's this kind of contrast between like, I'm so blessed and the Lord has given me so much, but also like with this reality of like, there's so many kids that are like estranged from their family, like their parents' rights have been terminated. Like there was this one girl actually that like ended up sleeping like outside the office one night because she didn't have anywhere to stay, and she was a former foster child. And so it's like these realities coexisting. Like I was very much so not used to the contrast between my life and the lives of these people, and I don't think I realized the big disparity in between those two things. Obviously you do, you know that you're blessed, but it's like it's so different when you're seeing that in front of you. And so that was really hard to process. Counseling was great for me. But I think through that, I realized that like social work is no joke. And in order to be able to commit to doing that for my career, like I just felt very much so like at the end of that internship, like, oh my gosh, that's like a big deal. Like the plan A was, okay, we're going to have this internship in Greece and then we're going to move to Greece. And then that didn't work out. And then plan B was like, okay, we're going to have this internship this summer, and then we're gonna apply for grad school in the fall and then go to grad school. And like one of those plans for plan B, like a subset of plan B, was like, okay, like I'm gonna move to Idaho. This is so random, like I don't even know if I've spoken about this on my podcast, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna move to Idaho. I'm literally just telling you guys all the tea, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna move to Idaho because I have family there. and I'm going to stay with my family there and get my master's at the same time. So that way I'm able to be near family, but also somewhere new, because I was just like aching to get out of the South. Just honestly, like the North Carolina, Virginia area, because that's like all I've ever known. And so I was like, I'll move to Idaho, won't have to pay rent, but I'll also be near family and I can get my master's while I'm out there. And then I actually ended up getting an interview for a school. It was an online program, but coincidentally, like I applied to Boise State. And so I got a spot. Like after the interview, I was really nervous. But I just didn't feel a whole lot of peace about it, especially with how disheartening my internship had been. And it's not necessarily disheartening in a way of like, okay, I can't do this, I'm not qualified. But I think it's more disheartening in a way of like, I thought that this was what I wanted to do, and it's actually like really making me super, super sad. And I think that God qualifies people, like the people that are supposed to be in that position, like he will put them in that position. And I believe that like there are people that are really well suited to working in foster care specifically. And those people are super empathetic, and those people are super soft, but also like really, really, really strong. And I think I was kind of just questioning like, God, like, is this what you want me to do? And also I was really just struggling, honestly, to be transparent, with working in a cubicle, and not being around people all day. And like, I was really just struggling socially with my schedule, not lining up with any of my friends. And I know that's a part of growing up, is like realizing like things just do change, and it's not going to be college playtime forever, because my college kind of felt like a summer camp in a sense, and it felt like fairytopia sometimes. But yeah, I was just really struggling with the idea of like, not necessarily because I wasn't thinking that I wanted to work in foster care or case management, but just like the reality of social work and how hard it is. I was like, okay, is this like really what I want to do? Do I want to like spend this money to get my master's? Do I want to take this big commitment? And it's actually only a year commitment if I get my master's within 5 years of getting my bachelor's degree in social work, which is nice, with getting my MSW, my master's in social work. But anyways, I say all that to say, I was at a really confusing time where I was questioning, is this what I want to do? Because I'm really struggling with this internship. I'm struggling with not being able to process things, and just struggling with feeling like maybe this isn't the direction God wants me to go. And yeah, so then that leads me to something that I've talked to you guys about a good amount on this podcast, is just the concept, which I feel like has been my 2023, is like the concept of like, is God speaking to me? Or am I not listening? Or like, how do I listen better to the Lord? Like, if I'm asking him to speak to me, am I also asking him to give me the ears to listen, and like the ears of discernment of like when it is my voice and when it's the Lord's voice? And I know for me, Greece and that whole idea was my voice. It wasn't the Lord's voice. And now in retrospect, I'm able to see that a lot clearer. But in the moment, it felt like God was leading me astray and not giving me this good gift that I really desired and thought that I deserved. But yeah, so I was in this headspace. It brought me back to this headspace that I kind of went through all winter about like, okay, Lord, like I'm going to ask you to talk again. Like I'm going to ask for this, but please also give me the ears to listen. And then it was actually crazy because I had a trip planned where I went to Montauk earlier this summer, which is where I had lived last summer and worked as a barista with two of my best friends. And I actually got a random text from a family friend of mine. And she was like, hey, this is so random, but I just saw that you graduated. Congratulations. Like, would you ever consider moving to California and working for me? And so this kind of came out of the blue. But this family friend, I basically like grew up knowing her. Like we've known each other for like 10 or so, like 8 to 10 years at this point. I babysat her kids when they were younger. And we all grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina together. And my mom was the kids' teachers. And then I ended up babysitting for them. But the mom and the dad both, to kind of summarize it, it's hard to explain, but they both work in social media, but also in ministry. And they use their social media platforms for ministry. The mom has a lot of like events and retreats and hosts different speakers. She's also a speaker. She has a podcast. But she basically, yeah, works primarily with women, and she like spreads the gospel with her platform, and it's just really cool to see. But anyways, I've known her for forever, and she just called me out of the blue, and it was like at the same time that I'd been praying this repetitive prayer of like, Lord God, speak to me, like tell me what you want me to do, like I'm not feeling a ton of clarity about social work, like if I need to move in a different direction, open doors so that I'd be able to walk through these doors in a different direction. And then I got that random text, and we actually ended up hopping on a phone call a few days later, and they were like, okay, like, and it's this couple, and they have, like, two kids, and they were like, hey, like, why don't you, like, come out and visit at some point this summer, and we can have you, like, see the area, see if you like it, and we can talk about what you would do for us. And so a couple weeks later, I guess, like, a month later, I hopped on a plane, flew out to California, specifically Orange County, Newport Beach area, which is where I am now, spoiler alert. But I visited, and I immediately was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But at the same time, I was trying to discern, because I also had another job opportunity in New York City that I'd been working on for a little bit. And that would have just been a nannying job in New York City. I have a connection. This girl that I know is a nanny in New York City, and she was going to set me up with a family. And so I was working through that and trying to figure out which direction to go in. But whenever I came to California, I'd been to California before, but only like Northern California. I'd never been to Orange County or like Southern California whatsoever. But I felt so much peace the first time that I was out here. I was like, this feels really right. And I just had so many God-centered conversations in this family, like just really is following the Lord so closely. And so I felt like it would be a good place for me to grow spiritually, and a really good transitional time of life that could turn into something else. And there's just a lot of opportunities out here. And so after that first trip out here, I was like, yes, like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And just every door just like kept opening that like couldn't have been opened before. And I was telling all my friends from school this, and like a lot of like wise people in my life were speaking into my life being like, Maddie, like I think this is the right decision. Like I really feel like you need to just take a leap of faith and do it and move. And so I was able actually to visit California one more time to like go out and work for them for a week again later in the summer. And so I got like two times that I was able to go before I officially moved out here. But it's been amazing. And actually I'm living in their house right now, which has been like a whole other blessing from the Lord, is that provision. Because when we were initially talking about like them wanting me to move out here and work for them, they were like, also like you could move in with us because their older daughter was actually going to college. And so I was able to move into her room. So I have like my own space here, and it's been so amazing. But I feel like one thing I learned through that experience of like, okay, Lord, like open doors, like I need you to make it clear to me what I'm supposed to do, and like make like you know that one song, it's like gosh, I don't remember the title of it, but it's like move the immovable, it's like believe for it, but it's like move the immovable, like break the unbreakable, like God, I believe for it. And it's like I believe that you can do things that I could never perceive. And so like when this opportunity literally just fell into my lap, and they were like, okay, like move in with us, like work for us, like I was like, gosh, yes, like how can I say no? Like God literally put this in my lap. And so basically a summary of what my job is out here, just for more context, it's kind of hard to explain. But I am the mom's personal / executive assistant. And so I'm living in with them, but I'm doing all sorts of little things for them. The mom, like I said, has a women's ministry, / business, where she motivates women to integrate their faith into their businesses. And it's really cool and so inspiring to be around like so many successful, God-fearing women. It's been so, so amazing and inspiring. And it's also cool because like I've known these people for a really long time, and my mom is really close with them, and it's just been amazing. And it seriously just felt like the Lord just placed this opportunity so firmly in my hands. Whenever I finally like unclenched my fists of the plans that I had been idolizing for my life, my plans, not the Lord's plans. And that's been made abundantly clear now. But yeah, he's just provided like so much, and I'm so blessed by this opportunity. But basically, like I said, I'm personal assistant slash executive assistant. And so she has lots of events. So I help her with her events. I'm also going to be helping her with her social media and like her team's social media and all sorts of like businessy things as well. So I'm excited to learn in that aspect. But I, obviously, I have a lot of experience just on my own behalf in terms of social media. But I feel like I have a lot to learn. So I'm excited for all that I'm going to learn on the businessy side of things. So like getting trained in all these different like networks and getting trained on all of these different platforms. I think that's going to be really insightful and interesting. And I love to learn. So I'm excited to be out here and learn from her and learn from them and just be here in such a beautiful place with such an amazing opportunity. But yeah, so that's my job. And then I just felt so much peace about it. I feel like the hardest part though, that I didn't anticipate to be as hard as it was, and I don't know why I necessarily didn't anticipate it to be as hard as it was actually leaving Lynchburg and leaving my friends. Because like I said earlier, like this summer and this, I guess like winter into summer, like the second half of this academic school year, as well as the summer, was just a really hard time for me in terms of dealing with a lot of bitterness and resentment towards like my expectations of what college would look like for me versus the reality of what it looked like for me. And I can talk about that on a later episode. I definitely want to, just because a lot of the times I idolize my expectations and then the reality is so different. And then I just get angry with God. Or just angry with others. I find somewhere to place the blame when in reality, like my idolized expectations are probably what's to blame, you know? But anyways, so yeah, leaving Lynchburg was really hard. Saying goodbye to all of my friends was really hard. That was like one of the saddest days of my life was when I hugged goodbye to all of my friends. I think just because I don't have like a set time that I'm planning on leaving California. Obviously, like I'll visit them and they will visit me. But since this job is like so like fluid and like it's not the same as like just getting like a 9-to-5 job working in an office. Like I have like a more fluid job, and like I believe and I hope and I pray that like other opportunities will arise out of this job. Like I don't have a year plan at this point. Like my year plan is like California, but I don't have anything outside of that. And so I'm definitely in a period of life where it requires a lot of trust and it requires a lot of courage. And I think it's stretching me to have more of those qualities than I've had to have in the past when things have been a lot more comfortable. But I say all that to say, like, once I got here, the first 2 weeks were probably the two loneliest weeks of my life. Like I really hit a breaking point one night where I just couldn't stop crying because I was like, this sucks because I'm in such a beautiful place and I'm so happy with what I chose to do and I'm so proud of myself, but I'm also so lonely and I don't really have anyone to share these memories with. Like I don't have, like my friends aren't even in the same time zone as me anymore. And I just really was like faced with the reality of what a cross-country move means. It doesn't just mean this like idealized version of my life where I get to be somewhere finally that I like love, and I love being near the beach and I love Southern California. Like it's a beautiful place. Like I can't even complain about location wise, but in terms of like leaving my friends, it really like awakened me to the reality of like anywhere can be fun if you're surrounded by people that you love. And like that was my reality in Lynchburg, was like I wasn't a big fan of that small town and I never really was. I don't think that was ever somewhere that I wanted to stay. And I realize a lot of people do like Lynchburg, but Lynchburg was not a place for me. Virginia wasn't a place for me. I felt very strongly that like I wanted to leave whenever I graduated. And so it was definitely hard whenever I had to say goodbye to my friends, because I think I thought in my head that it would be a lot easier than it actually was. And so those first 2 weeks here have been really hard. I'm now entering into week 4. And I definitely like hit a, I had a turnaround in my perspective, and that's because I prayed that, dude, I'm telling you guys, like every time I pray that prayer of like, God speak to me, he speaks to me, and it doesn't seem to stop. And so I want to share a few encounters that I've been able to have while I've been here that I believe that God has spoken to me through. So first of all, I started going to Circuit Riders, and I know a lot of you guys are familiar, but for those who are not, Circuit Riders is, I believe that they are connected to YWAM in some sense, and YWAM is more widely known, I believe, but it's Youth with a Mission, and Circuit Riders is one of their, like, missionary tracks. And basically, there is 3 months where you are studying the Bible, studying how to evangelize, taking classes, and then 3 months where you are, I think it the time frame depends on the track that you're on, but from what I understand, it's like 3 months in the States, like in wherever you're based, and the main base is in Huntington Beach, which is like 15 minutes away from where I'm living. But there's also like a 3 month where you are living in another country. So I have a friend that actually did her, and it's called Your DTS, and she did hers. And if I'm explaining this poorly, like, please somebody comment on the post that I'm going to be posting on Instagram and, like, re-explain this. But I feel like it does differ depending on the program and, like, where you're going within Circuit Riders. But I have a friend that, like, did her missionary work in where was it? In the Middle East. So it's like you can go, there's so many different places. They have so many different connections. And it's cool because these people are completely fundraised. But anyways, I say all that to say they have worship nights in like an area near me that is Monday nights and Thursday nights. And so I've been going to that worship night. And I have a lot of, like, not a lot, but I have a couple of friends that I knew before moving out here, specifically my friend Caitlin, if you're listening to this. Hey, Caitlin. But she actually is a friend from back home in North Carolina who went to Liberty and then transferred to school in California. And so we've, like, stayed friends and become closer friends since I've moved here. So I've been going to Circuit Riders with her and also met some of her friends through that. But it's been cool because I've just been, guys, I'm telling you, like, I have never met so many, like, spirit-filled and, like, true Christ followers than I have since moving to California. And I don't think I expected that, you know, like, I'm coming from the South. I'm coming from, like, the Bible Belt, like, where everyone says that they're Christian, but, like, they don't necessarily act like it in all the time. And so it's been cool to meet so many people where it's like their faith is their life, and that should be the case. And so that's been really awesome and convicting. But like I said, I was praying for God to speak to me. During worship on, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and was like, "Hi, I have a prophetic word for you. Like, I would love to share this with you." And I was like, "Yeah, like, please." And she was like, "Can I?" And I was like, "Yes, please do." And I've had prophetic words, like, spoken over me before. And that's basically when, like, the Holy Spirit, when God tells somebody, like, "Hey, share this with this person." And I've had this happen to me before, and every single time it's hit home. And it's been cool because all of these that have been spoken over me recently, I've resonated with. And so I believe that they're from the Lord. But this girl tapped me on the shoulder. And this was during a particularly hard week where I was feeling just super lonely and almost, like, not regretful that I moved, but sort of just, like, questioning, like, okay, God, like, I'm here now, what? Like, I need to make friends. I need to meet people. I need to be surrounded by community. And this girl taps me on the shoulder and was like, "Can I share this with you?" And I was like, "Yes." And she was like, "I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that, like, you have a place here. I see a chair and there is, like, a seat with your name on it. And, like, God wants to welcome you here and he wants to celebrate your obedience. And, like, there is a specific reason why you have been called here in this specific place. And I don't know if you just moved here. I don't know if you're from here, but I just want to tell you that there's a seat for you here and he wants to welcome you here." And I immediately start sobbing because that's exactly what I needed to hear. I felt like God was speaking to me through this girl. And it's also crazy because I have a tattoo of a chair, and the meaning of it is that God has a seat for everyone at his table. Like God invites us all. Like, God is very inclusive, and, like, he loves every single one of us, no matter what you've been through, no matter who you are. He's a good father and he loves all of us, and we're all invited to his table. And so I really resonated with that imagery of the chair. And so that was crazy. I went home and I told the family that I'm living with, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, guys, this is crazy." And it really turned, like, this whole time around for me. Like, I felt like, okay, God, you've affirmed it. Like, you've told me. And then I actually went back the week afterwards and somebody spoke over me, or maybe it was later that week. I don't remember, but somebody spoke over me and was like, "Hey, like, I just want to encourage you. Can I have a prophetic word?" And they shared with me that, like, they had this image of me painting a picture and wearing a poncho, like a colorful green poncho, which is so funny because if you know me, you know that I like love ponchos and I'm always wearing like a ridiculous poncho, and I have quite a few. And she was like, but you're painting and you're using your creativity like for God's glory. And I just want to encourage you that that's something you're going to be able to do here. And like, if you've ever felt like you haven't had the opportunity to share your gifts and talents, like for the glory of the Lord, like, or those have been like squandered or they've been squashed by your environment, like just know that like, there's going to be an opportunity for you to do that here. And so that really encouraged me. And then another time, like this was last week, guys, this is just crazy. Like I'm just overflowing with all these things that God is like speaking to me through other people in these environments that are so spirit filled. And somebody in front of me actually turned around and was like, hey, like, is your name Maddie? And I was like, yeah. And then she turned back around and like, this was during worship. She kept worshiping. And then later she turned around and she was like, did you say yes? Like, was that your name? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, that's God told me that. That's so funny. And then she proceeded to just encourage me and say like, hey, like God just wanted, like, can I speak a prophetic word over you? I said, yes. And she said like, God wanted me to tell you that like, he sees your childlike faith and like, he thinks it's beautiful. And then later on that night, another person said the same thing, like, hey, like, I just want to affirm to you, God just told me to tell you that like, your childlike faith is beautiful. He's going to use that. And then another time the same night, this guy came up to me, actually like way later in the night, I ended up going to one of the circuit riders people's houses, and it was like a whole bunch of people that were there just hanging out, and it was good for me. It was good. It was out of my comfort zone. And this guy came up to me and was like, can I speak something over you that God just told me? And he was like, I just want to encourage you that like all of these girls and all of these people, but specifically women that you see in your life that are like so on fire and so in love with the Lord and like just so in love with Jesus, like I just want to encourage you that like you're going to be able to experience that. And like that desire of your heart where you see all these people and you compare your faith to theirs, like you're going to be able to experience that and it's going to be so real. And he just encouraged me in that. And I resonated with that so hard because I feel like so often I see other people's faiths and I compare them to my own. And so that was like, wow, like it was so specific and all of these were so specific. And I just felt so clearly that like God wanted me to hear each and every one of these things affirming that like I'm supposed to be here. And it was just crazy. But I'm walking in this new, I feel like I've just been walking this week, even though obviously I've been in bed all week. So not physically walking, but mentally and spiritually just walking in this new faith that like I am where I'm supposed to be. And like, it might be really hard and I might be struggling with loneliness. I might be struggling with community. I might be struggling with like feeling like I like have a whole lot of people to hang out with on any, it's just funny, like going from like college, like having plans every Friday, Saturday night to being here now post-grad in this really fun city, but not having anyone to like experience it with that's my age, you know? It's just like a gap that I wasn't anticipating for whatever reason. Like I wasn't prepared for that gap in my life. But it's just been cool because I've been walking since hearing all of these things and just really being affirmed in like what the Lord wants for me and like that this is what he wants for me. Like I've just been walking in this new faith that I've never experienced before where it's like, okay, like I'm going to thank him for things that haven't happened to me yet. I'm going to thank him for friends I haven't made yet. I'm going to thank him for community that I haven't found yet. I'm going to thank him for talents I haven't of mine that he's going to use and he's going to create that like I haven't discovered yet or maybe haven't sharpened yet. And I feel so encouraged and excited. And I know that like there are friends for me here and I'm going to meet them. And like that's the biggest desire of my heart right now. But I also know that like this is going to be such a stretching time and I'm going to be challenged so much and I'm going to grow so much. And I can't think of a better place to experience that in with like working for this family that I respect so much and have learned so much from. And it's just cool. Like everywhere I look, there's God. And I think it's funny because in seasons of my life where I've experienced a lot of darkness, it's because I haven't been spending time with him or setting aside time for him. And now that it's like all that there is around me and that now that I'm prioritizing it more, it's like I can't stop seeing him around me because he is everywhere. And it's just the truth of like what being surrounded in the word and what being surrounded with worship and like-minded people that just like does that to your brain. Where you're like, okay, well, God's everywhere. Like, how can I not see him? Like, he's everywhere. He keeps speaking to me. Like, it's like, I can't hear enough. But yeah, that's what I wanted to share with you guys today. I'm really excited and really encouraged and really on fire, and I want to use this platform like to the best of my ability to share the gospel and share with you guys all that God is teaching me so that hopefully he can use me to reach others. So yeah, if you have any suggestions for how I can better steward this platform, please let me know. I'm open to any and all suggestions. I love you guys. I love this platform. I love this passion, and I'm feeling so much more excited about it these days. So praise God. But yeah, thank you for listening. Make sure to follow my podcast Instagram. Make sure to follow my personal Instagram. I will have all of those in the description of this podcast. But I love you guys, and we will talk next week. I pinky promise. I have so much more that I want to talk to you guys about, but I figured this would be a good time to catch up and just explain what's going on. But I love you guys. I'm so encouraged by you and by all of your kind messages. I've gotten so many encouraging messages about my move out here, and I figured it was time that I was able to share a little bit more. But I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Have an amazing week.